to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Well, hello, hello. Can y'all hear me? Okay, just one second. Okay, what's going on?
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Can you hear me? No, I can't hear me either. That's very weird. Can you say something?
Hi.
Yeah. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, that's
you
great.
You can hear me?
That could be my headphones then. Maybe I have my
hello,
volume.
Hello, hello. Hello, Radio Universe.
Now I'm here.
Hello, yeah. People. Pretty people. Welcome.
And we have a friend today. Can we hear you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we're all in the house.
So I guess it was just my headphones. Okay, panic averted.
Oh boy, jeez. I could hear Luke going, Mom, don't you know how to do that yet? You do it every week. Jeez. All right, welcome to another edition of System Kids. Hope you stay tuned in. We're having a nice relaxing drive right now. We're getting all your dinner fixings together. Or whatever, doing whatever, and listening to the hot topics that we bring you each week. Again, welcome. This is KW 95.9 FM. We're System Kids, and we are so grateful that we get to have this platform to echo the issues and concerns of young people in and from care, and those that help support, rally around, carry, advocate, and just fight for every day. And we like to cover the news, and boy, has there been a lot of news
about
our little
news
brothers and sisters in and from care. So it's Tuesday. Today is March 19th. Like, how did that happen already?
Mm-hmm.
All month we've been kind of talking about education, but today we're going to be educating y'all on some really important topics that really we need more light shed on,
mm-hmm.
right? We're talking about the news. We're talking about rights. We have our special guest, Jamie, who's representing the foster parents. She's the El Presidente of the Foster Parents Association.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, Jamie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad you could be here.
Yes, absolutely. And do you know what today is, Marie? What's significant about today?
Today is the day after St. Patrick's Day.
No, St. Patrick's Day was Sunday.
According to my calendar, Monday is St. Patrick's Day in Newfoundland.
Oh, okay. Do you know what today is, Jamie?
I think it's the first day of spring.
That starts at 10 p.m. tonight.
Okay.
But today, from what I've been informed, is Social Work Day. So, happy Social Work Day.
Yeah.
To all the social work heroes, unsung heroes that work behind the scenes and do everything they can to support families or, advocate within systems, right? At the micro, macro, and meso levels that need change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you to all the super social workers out there. Can I get a woo woo?
Woo woo.
Oh, come on. You can do more enthusiasm. Sound like me at 7 in the morning. Woo woo. Where's the coffee?
Yes. No, we're definitely thankful for social workers who, go, and I hate to say it because I don't want to applaud burnout, but those social workers who go above and beyond. And sometimes going above and beyond is really doing the simplest things like connecting and listening and maybe going to McDonald's with
right.
your kid.
Yeah.
So thank you to those social workers who do do their best to help create a better system of care here in Manitoba.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and yeah, thank you guys. You guys are social workers.
So. And so are you a
practicing
social worker.
Thank you for social working. Thanks for social working. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into it. Mm-hmm. Time tends to fly really quickly here. So in case you don't know, in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are a show that was inspired and supported and driven and run by the fabulous Youth and Care Network here in Manitoba, which we lovingly call Voices. Mm-hmm. You can find them at 61 Juno Street on the third floor. You can be old school and give them a ring-a-ding-ding at 204-982-4956. Or you can pass on this number and give it to any young person anywhere in Manitoba that just might need a listening ear or has a question about their rights or how to something they need within the system. Their social worker's not getting back to them fast enough. Give them this number. Send them to Voices at 1-866-982-4956. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on the socials. Where are we at, Marie? Are we doing the TikTok yet?
Not yet, but you can find us on our website, www.voices.mb.ca. Send us an email, ask@voices.mb.ca. And then on Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, you can look up at Voices, M-Y-I-C-N, or at Voices, MB, and we will pop up. And so those are three really easy ways to catch us online.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's welcome again to the show, Jamie. You got a copy of our outline. We always start our show with a nice icebreaker. So our icebreaker today is, if you become a YouTube content creator, what would you be famous for? Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit you up first.
Great. I'm glad I read this just briefly before we started so that I could come up with something. But definitely what I like to say my superpower is finding really strong women to surround myself with, because what we do as social workers, but just as a foster parent as well, and a student and a researcher, I need a lot of support. And I find I am just so good at seeking out strong, fierce women and putting them in my circle. And that is definitely what I would be famous for.
I love it. Love
that would
it,
be a very good site. Yeah.
So what would that entail? Would they be like a special guest? Would it be like Soul Food Sunday with these fabulous goddesses in your life, like Oprah style?
Sit down with a cup of tea
and
spill the tea.
Right?
I would also throw out pointers on how to look for these women what these women embody, and just, you know, and not just limited to women, of course, but I just happen to find such strong women in my life who I look up to, who, you know, are my mentors, who have gotten me where I am today.
That's nice. Awesome. Very How about cool. you, Diva? Diva?
I don't know. There's too many options. What would I do? Okay, I could be a karaoke queen. Well, I kind of tried that. Didn't work. Maybe a cooking show. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to be maybe one of those that like the reluctant kind of traveler kind of, you know, just take the camera with me as I explore and go hiking. But I wouldn't go too high on mountains because I'm scared of heights. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Just like, oh, look at this beautiful view. And oh, look at this historical building. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be doing no Mr. Beast contests or anything like that.
Mr. Beast? What's that?
Oh, you gotta check it. Go on the YouTube. Okay. You'll find Mr. Beast. Brilliant. I love Mr. Beast. But yeah, how about you?
Well, I think my YouTube channel would be all about transforming leftovers, because I love going to restaurants. I love trying new restaurants. And sometimes when I'm there, I'm like, either something wasn't as good as I thought it would be, so can I take it home and add like some stuff to it to make it really good, or it was so good it just made you like tear a little bit, you want to go home and try to recreate it. So I think that would be my my YouTube channel, like, let's either create something out of a not so good dish that you know has potential to be really good, or try to recreate something so it's more affordable, because you can only, well, some of us can only eat out like so often. So,
wow, You know, she just came back to me. It was the recommendation of some of our members at Voices that suggested that we, Voices, have a YouTube channel. I know you say we have one, uh-huh. but one that we would maybe like video us here in the studio doing System
yes,
Kids
yes.
and then post that as like, you know, a video yeah. podcast
yeah.
regularly. And I wonder if, you know, that would just encourage more people to join our conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's for me, it's been a while since we've really gotten feedback.
Mm-hmm.
People tell me verbally, like, oh, I loved your show last night, blah, blah, blah. Like, you said this, and blah, 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 said that. But it would be nice to just have, like, you know, comments yeah. on the YouTube.
Yeah. So we can
But then I would have to get fabulous every Tuesday,
and
that would be hard.
Every Tuesday.
I don't know. Not really.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That would be neat. I wonder what it would take to set up a camera and have a live broadcast while we're on the show. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So what's going on for the rest of the month?
Well, yeah, this month is speeding by, but of course every Wednesday we have the leadership team, which is young people in and from care ages 14 to 24 who meet at Voices at 4:30. We have dinner together and then either work on projects or have guests who come by for a visit.
I need to apologize to our mayor.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't think he would show because he canceled the first time. And I kind of, you know, busted some, I don't know, I can't say that on radio, but, you know, it was a little challenging about it. So I just want to give some mad props and respect.
Yes.
To Mr. Senior Scott Gillingham for showing up.
Yes.
Standing up for young people and, that's great. So tell us about that quick.
It was a great visit. Mayor Scott Gillingham came with Special Advisor on Homelessness, Mr. Backer.
Okay.
And they both stayed the entire meeting. We had dinner, and then the young people introduced themselves, and then our two guests introduced themselves, and it was really great. It was a nice visit, and he left with some questions and recommendations from the young people.
Nice.
And tomorrow we'll debrief it, first of all, and then we'll discuss, because he already, the next day, sent a response email about the actions that he can take or cannot take. So we'll discuss those and we'll send a response.
Can
so
you
that
tell
was
us
great.
A couple things that he is going to do, not the ones he can't, but.
Well, actually, interestingly, one that he can't. So the young people had asked for a special bus pass just for young people from care because young people, you know, they have a curfew, and if they are out and about and they don't have any bus fare, and they ask the bus driver, depending on the bus driver's mood, they may or may not be able to get on the bus.
Right.
They get home late, they get in trouble, they're past curfew, the police are called, it just turns into a whole thing. And so they said, can we just have a youth in care bus pass that we can use just to show, like, we need to get home right now? And so he said, you know, that's a conversation to have with the province, of course. So we'll see. Maybe the province and the city can partner to allow young people to get home safely and on time as often as possible.
Right.
But one thing he can do is he can support one of the community projects. Taylor is working on a project of gathering school supplies for low-income families and young people from care who are continuing on in school. So he'd like to support that project. And another one of our young leaders, Tobias, is working on a fringe play, and he would like to be able to go to that show. So he wants more information on when that show will be and how he can support in the audience or from the audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good visit. Uh-huh. So that's leadership team. If you're a young person in and from care and you want to just, you know, come together, work with other young people to help create a better system of care, come on down. Wednesdays, 4:30. We'll feed you.
That's great.
The rest of our calendar, we have another Manitoba Moose game on March 29th versus the Toronto Marlies. And we have Scholars Night. We had our first one last week. It was great. Next one will be in April. Date will be set soon. Tuition waiver applications are due Sunday, March 31st, or is that a Monday? March 31st. March 31st, whether it's a Monday or a Sunday.
I think it's a Monday.
get your application in. You can do this. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't, you know, whatever. It's easier to apply and then withdraw your application than to not apply and be like, oh, darn, I should have. Just get it in. And, yes, of course, by this Friday, if you want to join the Voices staff team, visit our website or the BGC Winnipeg website to see the postings for a program coordinator and outreach coordinator with Voices. We would love to have a lot or a strong team of lived experts running the network. So if you're interested, please check it out. And super future planning. So in the States, they have a network of lived experts who are working in the field.
Right.
And they came together because, you know, our experiences kind of make us like a different kind of sensitivity towards like being helpers.
Right.
So one of the things.
Special kind of experts.
Yes. Lived experts.
Lived expertise. Yes.
So they have a conference. This will be their 10th year re-envisioning foster care conference. It's in Boston, Massachusetts.
Nice.
November 13th to 15th. And it's for and by foster care alumni. And, you know, I know a lot of times we think alumni of care and programming kind of stops around 30. This is alumni of care blanket statement. You could be a 60-year-old who was in care and now you're working in the field. You could be a 24-year-old who's now working in the field. If you're an alumni of care, you might want to check out this conference. And so you can look up treehousefoundation.net/conference-2 and it'll tell you all about that conference.
That's awesome. I wonder if they're still accepting like submissions to be a presenter or facilitate a workshop.
That would be awesome.
Right?
Do you have an
idea?
Because
we could do that.
Ooh!
Heck yeah. Got lots
reason
of
to
ideas.
Travel. Reason to travel.
Yeah. And then we could go see my family. I have family that lives right by Boston.
Okay. I want to meet.
Maybe we could find new kids on the block or go to Beantown.
Oh.
Still crushing on.
I just want to meet a handsome person that has like a Boston accent. I think that's such a smart sounding accent.
Nice. Okay. All right. So I guess it's time for us to get into our rights highlights.
Yes. So this week we're looking at Article 40. Do you want to read out Article 40 for us of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child?
Sure. So Article 40 states if you are accused of breaking the law, you should be treated fairly and in a way that respects your dignity. Your age should be taken into account. Prison sentences should only be given where children have committed the most serious crimes.
Awesome. And why is this right important? How does it impact young people in or from care?
So Article 40 requires that the treatment of children within justice systems is consistent with their dignity and worth. All professionals involved in the administration of juvenile justice should be knowledgeable about child development and what is appropriate to their well-being.
Right.
There's a little bit more.
Oh, and there's more here. A child rights approach to juvenile justice demands that children are diverted from formal judicial processes. This does not mean an abdication of responsibility. All people should be responsible for crimes they commit. Rather, it requires that special attention be paid to children's level of development and evolving capabilities. It is also important that juvenile justice systems are not just based on retribution. The promotion and of reintegration and the provision of innovative and effective community sanctions should be at the heart of youth justice policy. We know that depriving children of their liberty tends to increase the rate of reoffending. Locking up children can only be justified if there are no other alternative ways to deal with the immediate risks to others. Moreover, it tends to be certain types of children who get caught up in the criminal justice system. They may have been socially marginalized for a variety of reasons, including poverty, race, and minority status are often heavily implicated in criminal status.
Mm-hmm. And that's from this website, crin.org. I forget what it stands for, excuse me, but they always do a good job of breaking down some of the concepts in the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. So I thought, especially in light of the situation that we've been having in Manitoba over the last couple weeks and our conversation today, I think it's really good to remember that young people are still children. Yes. In development.
Yep.
Still needing like love and care and relationship. And those are things that would probably be better diversions to continuing in crime rather than, like they say, just punitive retribution.
Right. Yeah. And I think like from what I've seen the last year, I've been really impressed with the lawyers that are representing and advocating for young people involved in the justice system. You know, I've worked with some young people that are charged with some very serious crimes. And, you know, it's important that not necessarily that we're assessing young people at where they should be in child development at age 14, but, you know, to advocate for those forensics exams and, mm-hmm. you know, capacity, you know, has this young person been assessed for FASD and right. can, you know, consider the impacts of those disabilities, really, mm-hmm. right, when making that, you know, pursuing action that requires, you know, some type of consequence for those actions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're doing a fairly good job. I think people argue that maybe at least in Manitoba, our youth justice system maybe has been too lenient for too Ooh. Long, that there's been, you know, lots of catch and release situations and young people not even having to do sort of any time. They just kind of get released on bail with conditions, you know, like don't have a weapon, come home for curfew, and then not complying. And so it'll be interesting to see what changes come out, because I know our mm-hmm. premier has committed to getting tougher on crime. Mm-hmm. So I worry how that's going to impact our youth, right? Because technically young people over 14 can be charged as an adult. I didn't even know that. I thought mm-hmm. that was just in America. But apparently mm-hmm. they could do that in Canada. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I hope, I don't know. Like, what are the needs of the young people? How? What can right. we do to help them, you know, but at least when they're having to do time for charges in the justice system, I think that's like a prime time where mm-hmm. we can, the people that all care about this young person, not just the lawyer, not just the PO officer, but workers, family, caregivers, teachers, everyone can rally around this young person while they're sitting still, mm-hmm. while they're hostage, sorry. But, you know, and we can assess, are the meds work? Are they on meds? Do they need meds? Are the meds that they're on working? You know, counseling, right? And gives young people an opportunity to maybe buy into needing meds. Maybe they can be still long enough to see that, hey, these meds work. Like, oh, maybe I do have ADD. Wow, like, look at the difference in my writing when I take my ADD medication. When I don't, it's super messy. Yeah. When I take it, I'm like, oh, things make more sense. Mm-hmm. I could focus longer, right? And so if they see the benefit into that medication, maybe they'll buy in. I mean, it's mm-hmm. there's no easy answer.
No, and there's so
no magic
reasons.
Wand. Yeah. I wish there was. If only everyone would do as I say. Yeah. No, no, we're not Shakespeare. We do not rule the stage, right? But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many reasons why young people get caught up in the youth justice system. Finding a solution for responding to the need that drives that behavior. That's the tough part.
And I think the answer is not jail time. I think getting tougher on crime is for youth. I mean, I wish to see more supports in place for youth who are, you know, at risk of offending or reoffending. I think that being quote unquote tough on crime is just going to put more children in prison when we know that's not the answer. They're probably much better off if we can put more dollars investing into community, right? So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Very interesting. Well, the conversation could go on, but you know, we only have an hour. So let me just remind you, rights are interconnected. And although the UNCRC has 42 articles that list all the things you should be provided with, protected from, and allowed to participate in, so you grow and develop to your best potential, If you can't remember all 42, remember these four B's. You have the right to be healthy, be safe, be heard, be yourself. And if one of your B's isn't feeling too good, you have the right to reach out and ask for help. You can call us here at Voices. You can call the advocates, the Children's Advocate Office. You can speak to any adult you trust to help you make your voice heard. So we're going to take a song break. I'm sure Jana has something amazing lined up for us this week. What have you got?
I have Glass Tiger this week. So I saw the front man of Glass Tiger was in Winnipeg last Thursday performing at the Pony Corral on Pembina, raising money for like the national pet something. And I just thought he was beautiful. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't heard a Glass Tiger song in forever. Uh-huh. So this is why I was inspired to find one of his jams. So yeah, give me one second.
Okay.
I will find it. All right. I hope you are staying tuned in. You're still here with us. You're picking up what we're laying down. Again, we'd love to hear from you on your thoughts, your opinions, your suggestions, your recommendations. But for now, we're going to take a little song break so you can shake it up, dance, shake it off, dance it off. You're listening to CKUW. This is System Kids, and we will be right back. Okay, here we go. Oh, wrong one. Oops, wrong one. Okay, sorry. Excusez moi.
I hear you cry.
are back. You are listening to System Kids, and this is typically the time we get into our community connection, but there are so many awesome connections in community that we couldn't pick just one today. So I think we're going to just quickly maybe not give you all the details on it, but you can always call Marie. I give everyone Marie's number. Her phone must be ringing all day long.
Yes.
But you can find out more by going to her website, or you try the Google. The Google will give you more info in terms of address and contact numbers. So yeah, just over our break and listening to the song, we all kind of just said kind of our favorite community connection, because there are a lot of strengths. It's very easy to just to talk about the problems in community and society, and you know, some people have their very dark opinions of the state of our city and safety and whose fault it is, but you know, we need to be solution focused and recognize the folks that are doing great work, and what place helps our young people be happy. And when they're happy, heard, healthy, and themselves, they're not going to want to, you know, misbehave, right? And do cause trouble or anything like that, right? So there's needs behind behaviors, and if we can meet their needs by bringing them to different community places, then yeah, it'll be a win-win, in my humble opinion. Of course, humble
of course.
All right, so let's start with you, Marie.
Well, actually, I'm gonna defer to Jamie because she had a really good one.
Yeah, okay,
sure.
Okay, we'll come back to you. All right, Jamie, give
so
it to us.
So I would say my favorite place to take my little guy is the Flying Squirrel. It's a trampoline park. Our youngest is diagnosed with autism. He's also nonverbal and high needs. But when he goes to that trampoline park, he jumps his little heart to content. Yeah, it's so adorable. And I will also say the folks at Flying Squirrel are great with recognizing kiddos with autism. You generally get a discount, and you'll get a free person to go in with person. So
nice.
It is really affordable. And as I was saying on the break, a tired child is a good child.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Come home ready to go to bed.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Do you have one you want to share this week?
You know, I just think about sort of community connections. It takes a village, as we say. And, you know, I really like to encourage caregivers, you know, even, you know, support workers, youth care workers that are, you know, loving and supporting young people on behalf of their families and being the eyeballs for social workers, is to, you know, not be discouraged to connect young people with, you know, outreach type programs like Boys and Girls Club, right? Like, there's so many after school clubs. There's even some high schools that have homework club, you know, just off top. I know St. John's High School, I know St. James High School, they provide food for the kid, they have homework support. I know it's very easy for our kiddos in junior high and high school to, you know, be more focused on developing their social skills than their educational skills. So, you know, not a lot of these services are free, and you know, they're there to help our kids succeed. So, you know, call around, you sign them up for Boys and Girls Club. I have a few of my kiddos at the club, and they just love it. And yeah, and if there's more demand, more programs will be created as needed, right? So, but places like Rossbrook House, Freight House, you know, depending what part of the city, every area of the city, you could find pretty much a Boys and Girls Club. So they're tooting my horn. All right.
Awesome. Those are two really good resources. Boys and Girls Clubs and Rossbrook, and those types of places are generally free. So you can just call them. Like Jana said, Google it or give me a call, and we'll track it down. Flying Squirrel can be kind of pricey, but they offer discounts. So give them a Google, give them a call, ask for what you need, and let's get young people engaged in community. Awesome.
Yes.
So I know we missed the 5:30 mark, but do you want to do a quick weather update?
I was just doing that. Look at us.
You know, it's simpatico. Come on now.
Simpatico. Okay. Here is your new weather minutes, weather update minutes. Oh my goodness, tonight. I don't like this. Today's supposed to be spring at 10 o'clock. But it's going to be minus 19 tonight.
Oh, no.
Partly cloudy. Tomorrow we wake up to mostly sunshiny day, mainly sunny, but it'll still be a little cold, a little crispy at minus 10. Again, it'll drop to minus 19 in the evening. Thursday will warm up to minus 5. Friday, minus 9. And then on the weekend, beginning a spring break, spring will be here, but it'll still be kind of chilly at minus 6, minus 6 from Saturday to Monday. So I don't know if you could wear your fall coats, but still put away your winter and put on a little lighter coat. I'm not sure. So hopefully, but yeah, that is your weather.
Okay, well, this is Winnipeg. We should be used to it, so don't be too surprised. All right, let's take just a couple minutes and touch on child welfare in the news, because we want to make sure that we give enough time to our special guest to share a little bit about herself and her work. But this week, you know, there's been a lot in the news.
Oh boy.
And a lot of it has been spurred by the comments of Police Chief Danny Smythe.
Right.
So we're generally referencing two articles. The first one is from the Winnipeg Free Press. They're wielding machetes. Police Chief disturbed by violence committed by youth in care. And the second article is from CTV News. Larger systemic failure. Advocates call for change to the child welfare system following comments from Police Chief. So some of the themes that I really wanted to draw out. I'm sure there are plenty more, and as a researcher, Jamie might have noticed others. But stigmatization, maybe I'm just really sensitive, but I really want to remind everyone, what you read is never the full story.
That's right.
Resources and supports, addictions and mental health, connection and relationship.
Yeah, they didn't mention any of those things in the articles, and that's the issue I took with it, is that right away it's point the finger at child welfare, meanwhile, like, not recognizing, I know, so many amazing workers that fight super hard for their kids. And, you know, we can see clear as day the trajectory some of our young people are on and how it's getting worse and worse. Reach out for help. And, you know, we just get slammed, whether it's trying to access mental health for this kid, right? Sitting in the ER with them for 13 hours to be assessed by a psych nurse and then a psychiatrist. And then the psychiatrist says, no, we can't take them to PY1 today. No, this is not, you know, the young person was wanting help 14 hours ago, but 14 hours later they say, no, I'm fine. I don't want to hurt anyone or myself. So they let them go, right? Or workers go through all kinds of hoops to get a young person to be assessed and stabilized, say, at the Youth Addiction Stabilization Units, right? They have limited beds.
Yeah.
And again, like, maybe you have a 72-hour hold or 24-hour to come up with a game plan to help this young person. And even if they agree to go to treatment, currently the wait list is 2 months long for Compass, which is the only youth treatment center that I'm aware of now in Manitoba. So, you know, what's happening?
What are some of your thoughts, if you...
Yeah, for sure. So I definitely agree with all of these themes. And I don't know if we're both sensitive, because I'm in the same boat of, you know, being a foster parent. I tend to feel like a mama bear for all of the children and youth in care.
Me too.
I just really worry about that label.
Yeah.
And that association of children in care are bad, or they have behavioral issues, or, you know, and I hope that, I guess that would be a theme from this that I would like to bring out, is hope and opportunity, because we know that what I like to see is that it is a larger systemic failure. It's more than one system. It's all of the systems right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I rest my case. Thank you.
And so I just think this is a really really good opportunity for people to come together and to come up with solutions, mm-hmm. the solutions we all already have had, but haven't had necessarily an opportunity to bring them to the table. So,
I have hope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I appreciate, I mean, we're going to dig into, maybe this is a natural segue, but, you know, the biggest recommendation, right, it's systems. Systems can't raise children. Mm-hmm. Children need families, right? Yes. We all have heard time and time again from young people, life sucked, I was going here, I did there, I failed at this. You know, there was no hope until one person cared, made one at least one connection with one healthy adult, and their whole life perspective changed, and they started to do better, right? And kids can't raise themselves either, and unfortunately, there's really limited tools, say, with the EPR system, right? Yeah. It's a very much needed system, but it's changed so much over the years that the amazing, beautiful support workers that work in EPR are really working with their hands tied behind their back, right? They're really sort of very... I'm trying to be careful not to step on too many toes.
But they ain't got it. Right
it
now,
just seems like the hands are tied behind their back, and you know they're very micromanaged, so they're not. They can't really take initiative in advocating for a young person in the moment. Everything needs to be. You know, they can't even call a worker directly, from what I've been told, to say, like, oh, this is what I see with this kid. Like, I have this idea for them. Or, you know, it needs to go to their coordinator. Then the coordinator contacts the worker, and the worker, you know, it's, it's to me, it's too much hoopla. Yeah. And I know the spirit was beating well. The mandate, you know, they're trying to be clear and not use EPR as a long-term placement. It's emergency placement, but there's still things we could do in those emergency time to support young people, whether it's to just get them ready to transition into care, because initially it's for come into care, go to emergency home till we find you a foster home. But often it's, you know, the place where young people go after breakdown after breakdown after breakdown, right?
So, and even though it is meant to be temporary, there are still a lot of young people who are there for an extended period of time. So you're right, like, rather than treating these as necessarily short term, let's just plan for how to provide good care for as long as this child is in this emergency placement
what
resource.
Can we do? But it's also 16, like, what can you do? You can't, you know, there's lots that needs to be done. But what I loved about your campaign, Jamie, in the news and in the paper, was really really shining a light. I had no idea, and yet I've been working in the system for over 20 years. I had no idea that there has not been a raise in per diem for caregivers in over 12 years.
Well, our fee for service has been over 20 years.
Wow.
And our basic maintenance, which is supposed to cover all the costs associated with raising a child, hasn't gone up in 12 years.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous.
So think back to 2012 and how much a house cost, how much rent was, how much a banana cost, you know, just like.
Yeah. And I just think about also the shortages of homes available.
And this is exactly why.
A lot of families want to open their heart and home, but they can't afford it.
No.
Right? So, hello, like...
Yeah.
So if we could just rewind 1 second, if we could start with just really thoroughly introducing you. I feel bad because I have been intentionally avoiding your last name. I cannot figure out how the P and the F work together. So if you want to start with, what's your name?
Sure. My name is Jamie and my last name is Pfau.
Okay.
So I think Pfizer...
yes.
Pfeiffer. Yeah, it's German. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jamie Pfau. Okay, and Jamie just very briefly, how did you, like, what brought you to where you are today? Like, what made you get on the foster parent path?
Yeah, well, I love sharing this story because I think it's one many women experience, but my husband, who is amazing and wonderful, we got married in 2009 and started family planning, and I found out through pretty much every possible way that I am infertile. So I was working in group homes at the time, and he had also worked with youth who were on the suicide watch of a children's hospital. And he found a lot of rewards from just sitting and listening and talking to these children. And so did I, working in group homes. So on our 1 year wedding anniversary, we were getting licensed as foster parents, and we were young and honestly very naive for what we were getting ourselves into. And we celebrated our 1 year anniversary being licensed, and we haven't looked back. We've been fostering for, this is our 13th year, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. We've helped to raise 8 children, and by the time we had been fostering for 2 years is when I started my education journey back to school, and I am still in school. So, but all my education, I got my honors degree in psychology here at the University of Winnipeg, and my thesis focused on parenting, and then my master's of social work, my thesis focused on foster parent training needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my PhD focuses on preventing unnecessary apprehensions and being able to just keep children with their birth family when it's safe to do so.
Right.
Yeah. So,
wow.
And please tell us about the Manitoba Foster Parent Association.
Yeah. How is it different from kinship?
Yes.
From muffin? K-muffin.
K-muffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, Facebook starts everything, right? So I was invited from a fellow foster parent to this group called the Manitoba Foster Parent Association. And really quickly thereafter, I recognized that this is something that I wanted to be a part of, because just through my own research, I had been hearing a lot of foster parents saying that they're going to have to close their doors. They're going to have to close their homes or downsize. We ourselves have downsized just because it's hard to afford. You literally have to afford to be a foster parent because it's costing us money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw this, and the number one mission was to promote positive outcomes for children and youth in care through advocacy.
Nice.
And that is the biggest difference between Manitoba Foster Parent Association and Kinship Foster Parent Association of Manitoba. So Kinship Foster Family Network, Kinship Foster Family Network. Sorry, it's not an association.
You still call them Muffin.
Yeah.
Muffin.
Yeah.
Tell us. Yeah.
So largely they are focused on connecting folks. They do like community forums and they share information.
Yeah.
But because they receive provincial funding, their ability to advocate is really limited.
Right.
And so we don't get any funding. So we are all volunteers. We have a lot of committees that foster parents are going to help us run, including one youth advisory committee, because I feel like oftentimes who gets left out at the table when we're talking about foster care are foster parents and children and youth in care, and former youth who have alumni.
Right.
So my master's research, I interviewed 3 children who have aged out of care, and I really wanted to talk to them about their experiences, and that just shined a light on, even though they're 3 different individuals, they all had very similar stories, and it was one of having no voice, feeling alone and isolated, and being labeled as, you know, quote unquote, bad or troubled.
Right.
And so I think it's really important for our association to really help bring that to the forefront and have youth in our communities and the youth and children that we care for have a voice, right? And whatever that they get to be the experts because they are. So that's just one example. We have lots of other committees as well. One that's going to focus on research and any new research that's coming out. Also things that have been in the media to just help us stay on top of everything and to see the direction of where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so all of that kind of culminates, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but in seeing you in the paper a few times over the last month.
Yeah.
But particularly, I think the first time we saw your name was in regards to the rates.
Right.
Yes. So you mentioned there hasn't been a change in 12 or 20 years, depending on what pot you're looking at. So I don't know if you've done the math, but how much would a foster family need to raise, and I'm going to use quotation marks, like the average young person.
For sure.
I know there's young people with higher needs who need more medical
Absolutely.
Care, more attention.
Yeah.
and some who are a little too calm, you're like, there's something going on with that one.
You're just so waiting.
So the average young person.
So actually, it's interesting because Statistics Canada just came out in 2023 with a report on what parents are spending to raise children per year. And it turns out it's about $17,000 a year. And this is middle of the road. This isn't lavish vacations or like elite sports. We know how much those can cost. This isn't private school. This is just an everyday average child in Canada. It's $17,000 a year. And actually, the average basic maintenance rate in Canada that foster parents receive is right on that money at $17,000, which ends up being about $46 a day. And foster parents in Manitoba receive $23 a day. So it's exactly half.
Wow, 23. Yeah. I thought it was 27.
Oh, so I will say you are very good. So folks north of the 43rd parallel receive 27. Or so there's also a rate for 0 to 11, and that's $22 and change.
Right. Yeah.
And then 12 and up is $27.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then that's not including respite though, right?
No.
To top up?
Well, sometimes that does. That is, it depends. That's another huge problem with Manitoba's system is it's very inconsistent. So if you've talked to one foster parent, you've talked to one foster parent. So, you know, and so everybody gets a different fee for service. Everybody gets different respite numbers and hours. Everybody, it's really convoluted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because workers have to really make a solid case for respite, and it's based on age, right?
And so, like, and need,
And need, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some people that I've seen, very different. Some that have like 10 hours respite a month, others not much. I remember when I was in care, my foster mom wouldn't use respite all year long, and then in the summer she would go camping by herself for 2 weeks.
Right.
You know what I mean? She just, and then she would get in trouble because they'd be like, no, we want you to use it every month. She's like, but what the heck am I going to do every month? Like, I just,
and
she wanted to go on a canoe trip and just get away from all children, period, for 2 weeks. And that was her self-care.
That shines a light on another issue is, right, like, we are parenting in a bubble where people tell us how to use our respite.
And,
you know, like, we're not able to be very autonomous as foster parents.
Right.
And then also, we can't even do that now. We can't roll our respite over. So if you don't use it in a month, you lose it.
Oh, wow. Boy.
So, and that's another thing that's happened in the just before the pandemic. So since, ironically, we've just gone through a global pandemic and we've actually had support taken away instead of provided more.
Yeah. So I know we're running short on time, so I just want to ask this question on behalf of young people who, you know, have experienced foster farms where they really get the impression that that foster parent is purely in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain to them the difference between a foster farmer and a foster family that really wants to do a good job, but just honestly, it costs money?
Yeah, well, I think that it's the intention, right? And it's the love. I mean, I wouldn't change anything about raising the children that we have raised, even though there's been heartbreak and stress and, you know, challenges all the time. 13 years, of course, you're not going to avoid.
That's a big family you have now.
Yeah, exactly. But what I can say that we always tried to, really take home to for our children is that they felt belongingness and just because you belong in our home doesn't mean you don't belong with your birth family.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you don't belong in other communities. It just means that right now you're here and we love you and we want to keep you safe and we want to do what's right for you. And I think it's very easy to tell the difference when you spend any time. And when people question or say like, well, don't the kids go to school or like, don't you have the whole day? I always say the same thing. Come to my house.
Yeah.
Come to my house.
Yeah.
And you will see. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Sure. So what can we do to help? We're running out of time, but awesome. I just love you. I love the vision, the mission, very in line with our mandate at Voices, is giving young people a voice. Mm-hmm. We always say, no decision about me without me.
Yes.
Right? Bring the experts to the table. That was the whole youth engagement strategy that came from the Changes for Children initiative.
Yes.
Marie has a list of all the reports, if you want, for your research.
Yeah.
That have been, and they're all like, The themes are quite saturated, right? Every year we seem to be interviewing young people on what do they need to transition out of care better? Mm-hmm. How could we support them better? Young people we've been saying the same thing since the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since the 90s. And there's been lots of good change. Mm-hmm. There has.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of progress. But now we need to support the helpers, right? I'm an advocate for youth care workers, for foster parents, because if we love them up, then they're going to be able to give better love to our kids.
Exactly.
And even show up to give any love at all.
Yeah.
So what can we do? What can I do? And what can Voices do? What can our listeners do? Let's fight this power and make it rain.
Thank you.
We want to make rain for y'all.
Well, because we are not funded currently, we are going to be organizing some fundraisers.
Nice.
So we're thinking about doing a trivia night.
Okay.
So when that comes up, I'll definitely send the information and you can spread it wide.
For sure.
But yeah, other than that.
What about a concert? A social?
Like
a foster care social.
Manitoba thing.
Social.
We are also
I can sing. I can sing
that,
for
that
you.
That is another committee we have, is a fundraising committee.
Okay.
So, yeah. And for the listener, we got a
petition.
Minute left.
Have you done a petition?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So just very quickly, we had a question about training, but you did mention that you guys have developed a training for foster parents. If someone is interested in becoming a foster parent, how do they start? Can they connect with the association?
Yes, absolutely. We would love for them to connect with us. We have about 400 foster parents in a group right now. And we are just facilitating so many questions and answers about respite, about allegations, because this does happen.
Yeah.
But the main point is that sometimes foster parents in Manitoba feel alone.
Right.
And we just want to lift that isolation up and just, you know, be together and support each other, and also have a positive page of wins, right? Because we need to celebrate those as well.
Yeah. How can young, how can so